Track 4. In this first part of a long conversation, Caroline finds out how the Snettisham RSPB Reserve was developed and learns more about the wonders of wading birds with Trevor.
Trevor, thank you very much for agreeing to talk about Snettisham and Titchwell RSPB activities and also about wading birds.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I know Titchwell and Snettisham fairly well, and yes, I was asked to talk to you, to everybody about, yes, various types of wading birds. So, really a little bit of a difference. It's what do you mean by a wading bird? So, really a wading bird can be any bird. And you would expect long legs, sort of feeding in water, feeding on fish, frogs, things like that. So maybe species that you would associate. So grey heron or bittern, spoonbill even. Those are all wading birds, but avocet, curlew, lapwing, ring plovers. These are really what bird watchers tend to know as waders. So although they're wading birds, not really sort of long-legged, these then are more specialised.
In what way?
So a lot of them, again, different sizes, but they have different bill lengths depending on what they're going to feed on. Different leg length, again, how deep a water those birds are going to feed.
Now, I have seen some of them out in the reserve, and they look both elegant but slightly unstable and fragile with those long legs of theirs.
Yeah, very, very long legs, especially something like an avocet. Very, very elegant, but they do look strange on those long legs, especially when they have to sit down. At the present time, avocets are nesting. And it is strange watching them fold their legs because their knee joint essentially bends differently to ours. It bends in the opposite direction. As they go down on their eggs or if they're brooding young, yeah, can look very, very awkward.
And also I remember the avocets were slightly skittish along the seashore, just aimlessly seemingly running around, but presumably it wasn't aimless for them.
And if they were actually on the sea, on the beach, probably they weren't avocets. Avocets tend to feed on fresh water. So here at Titchwell we've got a freshwater lagoon. Smaller waders, very skittish on the beach, but black and white and running like little clockwork toys, would probably sandaling.
Oh.
So black and white bird, so same colour, but much shorter legs and a shorter bill.
I see.
But running like a clockwork toy, that is very much one of their little identification criteria that we can use.
And equally, their beak, is it their beak or their bill?
Yeah.
Actually, it was long but turned down, I think, whereas the curlew was long and turned up.
Right, so we've got avocets with their upturned bill. They tend to swish their bill side to side. They're sort of disturbing the silt that they feed in and getting little crustaceans and shrimps and things like that. The curlew, which an iconic species, beautiful call. They have a very long down curved bill. This is all to do with what they feed on, the different foods. So curlew are probing much deeper into the mud, looking for things like mollusks and ragworms and items like that. Whereas the sanderling, the small bird, like the clockwork toy, they're picking up little sandflies. Very, very small prey, which is why they're so active. So it's all to do with what the birds will feed on as to the shape and length of their bills.
Right. I also noticed that some of them were incredibly well camouflaged in the environment here?
Yeah, really a lot of the plumage, especially the more cryptic plumage, that is done for when the birds are breeding, a lot of the wading birds. So let's talk about things like ruff and dunlin. So small birds breed. Some breed in northern Britain, others go much, much further north, and the Arctic, Iceland, over into Canada to breed. These birds want to remain unseen on their tundra breeding grounds. So very heathery, sort of brown and gold. That's why they've got a very cryptic plumage. They want to stay hidden.
And they have their young before they embark on their migration down here, do they?
Absolutely, yeah. So in early spring for us, so from sort of March and April, we get the birds that are coming up. So a lot of them will winter in some birds south of the Sahara. Other birds will winter in Britain, so on our reserve, on the Wash at Snettisham. They will then migrate north through the UK and spread out up into the high Arctic. That's where they're going to breed. So once they've bred up in there in sort of June, July, then the adults and young will then start their autumn migration back south. And that's when some of our biggest sort of flocks of birds, our gatherings, lots of birds will feed in the Wash, at the reserve here at Tier 12, other sites along the coast. That's what they're heading for, because there is so much food out here.
Right, but it seems strange to think they would want to breed in the freezing cold of the Arctic and then embark on this huge long journey with very young...
Don't forget, in the Arctic in the summer, their daylight hours it's non-stop daylight. They can actually get down and breed, find food, raise their young very quickly. They have 24 hours daylight in that time, so there's very little dark. So they really cram an awful lot in. It's one of the reasons why when birds are on migration, if they're feeding on a beach, it's something that we try to discourage, is actually the disturbance of those birds when they're roosting or feeding, because they're either going or have come a long way.
They're exhausted.
They need that food, that rest time, that energy.